Katie did it, you guys. I know, because the bugs told me so. Welcome to episode 82 of Insects Are Fun, the entomology and arthropod podcast hosted by me, Mitchell Logan. And today, we're learning all about those loud cicadas of the night, katydids. Katydids, also called bush crickets, are members of the order Orthoptera, making them related to both crickets and grasshoppers. However, they are in fact their own infraorder called Pteragonioidea. Within this sliver of an order, the katydids exist as the only living family, Pteragonidae. There are over 2,000 species of known katydids, and they can be found all across the world, except for the sad and dark cold place. That being said, most are found in the tropics, and there are only around 255 species known in North America. These insects are known for resembling leaves both fresh and old, and create unique songs by scraping their outer wings together. And yes, katydids do have two sets of wings, the same way grasshoppers do. The upper ridges of their outer forewings have different structures and textures, which when rubbed together, form unique songs the way string players rub horsehair bows across their strings. In fact, katydids have something called a file on the underside of their forewing close to their thorax. It's located on one wing only, and if you look closely, you can see that this file has many ridges, which when scraped across the hard edge of their other forewing, produces the classic katydid sound. Here's an example. They don't just make this sound though. They make loads of different noises from clicks to chirps and also different patterns of katydid to katydidn't. This is exactly where the name katydid comes from. It's what we call an onomatopoeia, where the name is modeled off the phonetic sounds. Actually, that call you just heard comes from the quote-unquote true katydid, which is the species Pterophylla camellifolia, and is found across the eastern half of the United States. As for why this is called the true katydid, it's because they are the founding species for the genus Pterophylla, and are the source of the name katydid. But they don't make it as far north as where I grew up in northern Vermont, so the katydids I know sound a bit different. Katydids and crickets sing the same way, and they both have ears on their legs, unlike grasshoppers, which hear through their abdomen and sing using ridges on their hind legs to rub against their outer wings. Grasshoppers are also active during the day, as we mentioned before. But then, how exactly are katydids and crickets different? Well, for starters, katydids are most often green, and they spend the majority of their time in trees, which is where the European name bush cricket comes from. As for their bodies, katydids stand taller than crickets, and their wings are much, much larger and form a tent over their abdomen. Katydids also have incredibly long antennae that more often than not are longer than their entire body. Sometimes they're called longhorn grasshoppers specifically for this reason. And some katydids do actually resemble and even sound like grasshoppers. One example is the European species, Roseliana rosalie. This katydid species is active during the day, does not have wings that cover their bodies, and even has a special form similar to that of a locust when population densities are high. I'll put pictures on the Instagram, but there's a chance my North American listeners have actually encountered this before, especially for people who live in the Northeast like New York State and the Quebec area of Canada. As for how this katydid got there, I'm not sure, but at this point, it's expected to be through most of the Northeast United States. This is the sound those ones make. Now, when it comes to the songs of katydids, it is generally the males that do the singing, and this is to attract their mates. Some species have singing females as well, but this is usually in the form of just a chirp. Females are also generally larger than males, and have a knife-like protrusion from their abdomen for laying eggs, known as an ovipositor. Speaking of eggs, did you know that in northern territories, katydids actually overwinter as eggs? Some species deposit theirs in soil, and others deposit them in plants. Still, others may lay them on rocks or other objects as well. The life cycle generally begins in spring, and the eggs hatch into small nymphs which feed primarily on leaf matter. Some katydids are omnivorous, and others are actually exclusively carnivores. It really depends on the species. But the true katydid we mentioned earlier feeds on a variety of deciduous trees. Basically, whatever tree you hear them singing in. Now, before we switch gears, I want to quickly mention something you've probably never heard before. And it's that you can actually tell the temperature by listening to the number of chirps produced by a katydid, at least in America. The formula is to take the number of chirps heard from one katydid in a span of 15 seconds and add 37 to give you the degree in Fahrenheit. The reason this works is that most of the American species sing at a tempo which is dictated by the ambient temperature. Pretty sweet, right? Okay, let's switch gears and talk about some common defensive behaviors seen in katydids. For starters, they tend to be shy. If you find yourself in search of one, you'll notice that they get very quiet and very still, especially the moment you shine a light on them. In fact, they just freeze entirely, no matter what position their legs were in. This seems to be pretty common across many different species. Others, like the Australian mountain katydid, Acropeza reticulata, lift their wings to reveal toxic colors, like red and metallic blue, which are very different from its drab gravel or rocky gray. Katydids don't just mimic rocks and plants, though. There's actually a genus of wasp-mimic katydids found in the neotropics of Central America and Upper South America. This genus, called Agonacris, has black katydids with copper wings and copper antennae. And the body shape and wing shapes are much slimmer and angled a bit different from your run-of-the-mill leaf mimic katydid. Two other neotropic honorable mentions go to the rainbow katydids in the genus Vestria and the spiny devil katydids in the genus Panacanthus. The rainbow katydids in the genus Vestria come in a variety of beautiful colors, hence the name rainbow katydid. But they've got a really cool ability to produce a foul-smelling odor through a scent gland. And the spiny devil katydids, so aptly named, are incredibly spiny. Some katydids also have powerful mandibles and can give a nasty bite when threatened or captured. But this is not just for biting predators. They can also use this powerful bite to escape predation if caught by a leg through self-amputation. This practice is seen in many different katydid species, and it's not totally uncommon to come across a wild katydid with only 5 legs. There are many, many amazing and beautiful species of katydids out there, so we aren't covering them all in this episode. The goal is simply to bring you some interesting facts on these incredible creatures. Before we end the episode, I would like to go into some interesting folklore. The first is a tale on how they got their name. There once was a maiden named Katie, who fell in love with a handsome man, but through twisted fate, he fell in love with her sister instead. This enraged Katie, and eventually she couldn't bear seeing them together anymore. In a heartbroken rage, she murdered both her sister and the man she fell for. The thing is, no one in town would have known, but the bugs turned against her, chanting in the night, Katie did it. Some other interesting myths about katydids are that they sing to bring cold weather. And there seems to be quite a few different urban legends about their singing in relation to the first frost of fall. For example, on the night the first katydid sings its song in July, that night will also be the first frost in the month of September. That one must be for the far north, or be heavily dated back before climate change was drastically shifting our seasons. Anyway, that's gonna do it for this week, and I hope y'all had a fun time and learned something new. Make sure to write a review and rate the show to keep it growing. Thank you so much to all those who have recently rated and reviewed. It's honestly making a huge difference. You can also support the show over at patreon.com and cash in on some bonus episodes and vlogs if you're interested. I do have finished merch, but I've been trying to figure out the best way to make it available. I think I'll probably put exclusive things on the Patreon and just open the shop for all listeners. Gotta represent, you know? Anyway, thanks for listening, and you'll hear from me again next week.